Hello, thank you for joining us today. We invite you to connect with us on all our social media outlets. Now, let's go to the message.
I have a little story to read you that Jesus gave us, and it's kind of an unusual story. It's Matthew chapter 12, verse 43. When the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, he walketh through dry places, seeking rest, and findeth none. Verse 44, then he saith, I will return into my house from whence I came out, and when he is come, he findeth it empty, swept, and garnished. Verse 45, then goeth he and taketh with himself seven other spirits more wicked than himself, and they enter in and dwell there, and the last state of that man is worse than the first. Even so shall it be also unto this wicked generation. I want to talk to you for a few moments on filling the vacuum. Filling the vacuum. You may be seated. Most people, when you get to know them well, will tell you that someplace in their life, sometime in their life, they've sensed that something is missing. Something is lacking. There's something more that I want out of life. That's what I refer to as the vacuum. Something that is not quite right. The author of this story is not just anybody. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. And his importance is illustrated by the fact that the creator of the universe, you know, the Bible said that Christ was the creator of the universe. A lot of people don't realize that. But the Bible said there wasn't anything that was made that he didn't make. And so the creator of the universe tells us this story. And when he starts, if you notice, it's a progression. He starts with a man, and then he talks about a house, and then he talks about a generation. Perhaps he is saying this is not an exception to the rule, but rather the rule. It's almost as if he's saying, if not everybody, at least anybody can have this problem. This scripture does declare that it is not just a few or some, but rather. In 1 John 5:19, it said, we know the whole world lieth in wickedness, not just a part, but rather the whole world. It's not a preacher's opinion, but it's the declaration of God himself. Romans 3:23 says, for all, not just some, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Jesus is talking about everybody. I don't care who you are, how intelligent you are, how wealthy you are, how accomplished and successful you are. Everybody needs a Savior. And Jesus Christ did not come to a few. He came to the whole world. But remember, the Scripture states that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And God offers a remedy. God offers a remedy for this fatal flaw that man has, and it's called repentance. Sometimes people think repentance is a bitter pill to hold your nose and swallow quickly, but it's actually another gift. There's nothing better than when you realize something is awry, something's wrong in your life, than having a place to go to and confessing it and getting it out of your spirit and out of your mind. Jesus said, cast all your cares on me. The Bible teaches us in Acts 17 and 30, at the times of ignorance God winked, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. Repentance is a great experience. It's a relief. It's a release. The guilt is gone. The weight is lifted. We're divorced, as it were, from a condemning, murderous spirit. We're released from all of that. We're told, however, there is no guarantee that after we've repented, that spirit will not come. In fact, the little story that Jesus gave us, that's exactly what happened. He said the man's heart, his house, his generation was empty, swept, and garnished. That word garnished means furnished. But then he said that evil spirit came back. You see, we're not really looking for a one-time experience when we come to Christ. We're looking for a life. That means every day of your life ought to get better after you meet Christ. In fact, John the Baptist came, and you don't want John the Baptist as a pastor. He was like some of the pastors I had. He was a pretty tough guy. His message was a little bit condemning. And so when he came, he preached unto them a message of condemnation, a message of fear. How many people realize that fear is not enduring motivation? You can only get scared so many times, and you can only stay scared so long. But love is an enduring motivation. And what does the Bible say about love? It casts out fear. If you're just serving God because you're afraid, after a while you quit doing that. But if you fall in love with the gospel story, and if you fall in love with Christ, and the fact that he loved you so much that he died in your place, that's an enduring motivation. That love will motivate you forever. The Apostle Paul would write and say, nothing can separate me from the love of God, not things past. Not things future, not things present, not heights, nothing can separate me from the love of God. When you become enveloped in the love of Almighty God, you will never leave the kingdom of God and God's church. And so when we hear about John the Baptist, he did his ministry, but he had this declaration to make. He said, there's one coming after me greater than I. In fact, what he was saying is, I preach a message of emptying out. But there's one coming after me. I'm not even worthy to carry his shoes, because his message is not going to be one like I have. It's going to be a message of fulfillment or filling full. So many people think that coming to Christ is quitting doing things. It's really not. It's starting doing things. It's getting so much spirituality in your life and so much goodness in your life. After a while, it just crowds out the bad. When you get filled full of God's love and God's power and the joy of God, after a while you just don't have room for the negative. Now, if you are a viewer of the news and you see what's going on, a person does not just go into a school and shoot 17 people just because they're aggravated or mad. There are bad spirits in this world. But Jesus Christ came and he gave us an antidote for everything that is wrong. No matter what it is, he gave us an antidote for that which is wrong. And so John the Baptist said, I must decrease, but he must increase. Friend, what we need today is not more religion. What we need is more of the power of Jesus Christ. Dr. Graham passed away this week, and he said you can have a lot of religion, but it doesn't work if you don't have Jesus Christ. We're not here to preach religion. We're here to preach a man that died for us because he loved us. But not only did he die, 3 days later he rose again and declared that he had conquered every enemy of mankind. And if we would become followers of him, guess what? We could become more than conquerors. I found Jesus Christ is that. I didn't join a church or get saved or shake a preacher's hand. I'll tell you what I did. I found Jesus Christ, and he put in me the power of his Holy Spirit, and that changed my life forever. When Paul in Acts chapter 19 came to John's believers, they had been following John for some time, and John was already dead, but they were still following them. And when the Apostle Paul found them, he said, have you received the Holy Spirit since you believed? And they said, we haven't even heard whether there be any Holy Spirit. We are simply under John's baptism, the baptism of repentance. What were they saying? Said, we have not received, we've simply given away. God's not just interested in emptying you out. God is interested in filling you up. When God fills you up, great things happen. John's ministry was an emptying out ministry, but Jesus Christ's ministry is about filling up. It's about replacing the vacuum, because each of us have something inside of us. Until Jesus Christ becomes our Savior and our Lord, we'll never, ever totally be happy. And so when you read about that, and when Jesus tells us the story about the adversary that's going to return, what that means is you can repent, you can join the church, but you're going to have a time in your life when that adversary is going to come back. That old sin's going to come back. That old negative attitude, that adversary is going to come back. And the question is, are you going to be able to combat it at that time? You can't do that if you've just emptied out. He said, but you have to be filled with something. And that's what Christ's ministry is about when he said, give no place to the devil. He's talking about get so full of God's presence and God's attributes that when the adversary comes in, it will not be any kind of a defeat to you. Isaiah said in 59 and 10 of his book, he said, when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will raise a standard against him. If he returns, and he will, I'm talking about the adversary, you need to be able to face him head on and take a bucket of joy and throw it right in his face. Because the Bible said, with joy you draw water out of the wells of salvation. And so God promises to fill our vacuum. Number one, he fills us with the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, ask the Father in my name for the Holy Spirit, and he will fill you with the Holy Spirit quicker than a father would give bread to his hungry son. If you're a believer in Christ, I ask you, have you ever asked the Lord to just fill you with the Holy Spirit? You say, is this important? Oh, yes, it is. Jesus said in Acts 1 and 8, after the Holy Spirit has come upon you, you shall have power. There is no power like being filled with the Holy Spirit. When God fills you with that Holy Spirit, it simply leaves you in a condition where there is no place for the adversary to be. Number two, the Bible said, I love this, in Luke 6:21, blessed are ye that hunger now, for ye shall be filled. Blessed are ye that weep now, for ye shall laugh. And so what he's saying is, I will fill you with happiness and laughter. Do you ever just get tired of being tired? Ever get tired of being discouraged? Ever get tired of being sad? Ever tired of the bad reports of the world? Well, the Bible said if you hunger and thirst and after him, he will fill you with laughter. He'll fill you with joy. I know that there's a lot of sadness in this world, but we don't have to dwell on that. The Bible said whatever things are lovely, think on these. Get happy in the Lord and realize that your future is signed, sealed, and delivered by Christ himself. He has defeated your enemy. He has defeated death. He's defeated the grave, and praise God, we're going to live with him forever. Number three, the Bible said in Acts 13:52, and the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Ghost. Do you know the Lord wants to fill you with joy? Do you know the Bible said it's with joy you draw the water out of the wells of salvation? I was raised in those churches where many times I'd go to church feeling good and leave feeling bad. That's not what God wants. Every time you come to God's house, you ought to have more joy, more love, more peace, more energy, more I can do it than you did when you entered in. Well, if we will preach the good news of the gospel, that's exactly what's going to happen. You're going to go to your job in the morning and you say, I'm an overcomer. Something good is going to happen to me today. My best days are yet ahead of me. The Lord wants to fill you with joy. And here's another one, Ephesians 5:18. And be not drunk with wine, where is an excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Now that's an odd verse. Let me read it to you. And be not drunk with wine, where is an excess, but be filled with the Spirit. It's a verse about drinking. And what's so odd about it is its placement in the Scripture. Because this is not in the Levitical law. This is not where someplace where God has given us a series of rules. But it's where he's talking about spiritual things. Do you know why he put it here? Because God wants his Spirit to have the same effect on you that you're seeking in wine or strong drink. He wants you to be filled with joy and happiness. And when you read the book of Acts, that's exactly what happened to them. Every time they were confronted by religion and in prison and had a bad experience, they renewed themselves in the Holy Spirit and they were filled with ecstasy and joy. I tell you, there's a place where you can get, when you get bad news, instead of having to put something up your nose or take a shot or grab a bottle, you can literally get in the Spirit on the Lord's Day, and suddenly you find the joy of the Lord, and you say, that's not going to bother me. If you read about John on the Isle of Patmos, which give us the book of Revelation, that's a unique setting, because he was in the most despicable place that he could possibly be. Buzzards flying overhead, rattlesnakes threatening him, bleached bones lying around him, and he said this, it was on the Lord's day, and I got in the Spirit. You're going to find yourself like John the Revelator sometime in your life when everything that is around you is negative, but if you know how to get in the Spirit on the Lord's day, you're going to find out that you don't have to have a synthetic. You can get high on Jesus. You can get ecstatic on the glory of the Lord. The Apostle Paul said, I'm addicted to the ministry that is in Jesus Christ. It's a wonderful thing when you have that experience. And next, the Bible said in Ephesians 3:19, to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. What is the fullness of God? The Bible said that God is love. To be filled with the fullness of God is to be filled with God's love. You say, well, my family is not much on loving. you know, have a church here in town, one of my friend's pastors, and he said, there's not a warm, fuzzy bone in my body. He and I were preaching a conference together, and this pastor said, there's not a warm, fuzzy bone in my body. He said, in fact, I don't even love you. He said, I hired a guy in my church to love people because I wasn't capable. And he said, I promise you, come to my church, he said, you won't be hugged. He said, I don't touch nobody. He said, if you want to get hugged, go over to Steve's church. They'll hug you over there. But he said, they're not going to hug you in my church. Well, friend, I think that one of the things that we ought to do best, and that is to show forth the love of Almighty God. And sometimes it's just not natural for us in our flesh. And so we have to be filled with the fullness of God, and God changes our very nature. I've told you this story before. When we were building on the old building next door, we were living in Windcrest, Becky and I, at the time, and I was sitting there, and it was about 11 o'clock at night, and our building was under construction, and I just had this impulse. I said, Becky, let's go to the new building. I just feel like we need to go over there. And so we got in the car, and we drove over there, and we had a telephone in our car. It was back before you had cell phones. We had a telephone in our car, and so we drove up to the building, and when I looked in there, it was partially finished. I saw this young man, and he was breaking into my office. And I told Becky, I said, get on the phone and call the police. And so I went in there, and when the guy saw me, he ran out of the building. And he ran across about where we are now, back on this land here. And he had a bunch of stuff in his hands. And I said, stop or I'm going to shoot. And I said, throw your hands up. And so he threw up his hands. When he did, he had a lot of my credit cards and things. And he threw them out here in the field. And he turned around. And I promise you, when he turned around, I was just like this. He's a big white kid, big, tough-looking white kid. Nice-looking kid, but big and tough. And he turned around and he said, sir, you don't have a gun. It dawned on me, I'd watched too many TV programs. I had the stance, but I had my fingers pointing at him. All I had was just my fingers pointing at him. He said, sir, you don't have a gun. Well, I thought, I'll just bluff it through. I said, I don't need a gun. I said, pick up that stuff you threw down. And he did. I said, come with me. So I brought him back across this road back over to the old church, and Becky was still sitting in the car, and so I said, did you call the police? She said, no, I figured you could handle it. That's her problem. She's always had too much confidence in me. Anyway, I talked to this man. I said, why would you break in a church? He said, sir, I'm going to tell you the truth. He said, I walked from Corpus Christi the last few days, hitchhiking. Not one person picked me up. I walked all the way from Corpus Christi to this church. He said, I'm hungry. I'm broke. He said, I didn't care what it was. I was just trying to find some money. I could buy something to eat. You know, and I was real mad and real angry to break into the church and steal my stuff. But praise God, you know what? My flesh did not get to do what it wanted to do. I'd picked up a little 2x4 about 4 feet long. I was going to hit him in the head with that 2x4. But all of a sudden, I heard coming out of me, it wasn't me. I said, are you really hungry? He said, yes, I am. I said, well, get in the car. Let's go eat. I took him up here to the restaurant and fed him and talked to him. I said, son, do you know anything about the Lord? No, I don't. I said, you never been saved? No. I said, would you like to? He said, yes. Right there in my car, I led him to the Lord and prayed for him. Brought him back to the church. I baptized him in water. I had a janitor working for me, a single guy, and I called Joe, and I said, hey, Joe, you got any room over there in your apartment? Yeah, he said, I got an extra bedroom. I took this kid over there and put him up in that apartment. I said, what are you going to do tomorrow? He said, well, I don't know. I said, well, you need a job? Yeah. I said, how about going to work for us? I hired him. He worked for me for months. He was the greatest guy in the world. Finally, one day, he said, I didn't tell you this, but he said, my dad's a cop in Louisville, Kentucky, and he said, I want to go home. I gave him a ticket and sent him back to Louisville. He said, well, what happened to him? I don't know. I lost track of him. I don't know what it did for him, but it did something for me because I realized that I could love beyond my capacity because the fullness of God has filled me. I don't have to be what my flesh says it can be. I haven't just emptied out and repented and got rid of bad things. God has replaced something very good with those things that used to be bad in my life. I give God all the praise and all the glory. Bob, when I met you and Helen, a story came back. I haven't told it for years, but it's an interesting story. I used to have a place out beyond New Braunfels, and every day I'd go out there and check on my horses and ride colts, and so I came back one day, and I had on my blue jeans and had on my boots and spurs, and I'd been riding, and I stopped at a little Chinese place there in the New Braunfels, there in that little shop center, and I saw a man, an older couple, sitting there, and he had a cap on. It said Mattoon, Illinois on his cap. That's where I was born. So when I got through eating, I just walked by and I said, who would put a cap on, say, Mattoon, Illinois? He said, I would. You could tell this guy was just looking for a fight. He's a little older, but he had a chip on his shoulder. He said, I would. I said, I was born there. He said, oh, really? He kind of softened up a little bit. So I talked to him a little bit, and come to find out, he said, you got some spurs on there, son. You've been riding? I said, yeah, I've been riding horses. He said, I'm a quarter horse judge. I'm American. That's American Quarter Horse Association is the largest horse breed in the world. He said, I'm a quarter horse judge. And he said, we start talking about horses. I said, well, I'm having a sale. Why don't you come out to my sale? So he came out to my sale, and so for weeks I deal with this guy and went to eat with him. Finally, one day I said, I'm a preacher. And when I did, he just stiffened up. He said, I'm an atheist. I said, oh, really? And so I just talked to him a while and got to talk to him, and he said, I used to be a baseball manager of a team in Illinois. I said, you know, my dad was a big baseball player. He played semi-pro ball. I got to talk to him about it, and we just developed this rapport. And finally, one day I was having with him, he said, you know, I'm an atheist. I told you that. I said, yes, sir, you told me that. He said, where's your church at? I said, it's up here on I-35. He said, you let atheists come? I said, yeah, I do. He said, me and my wife will be up for this Sunday. I said, okay. So he sat in the back seat. My mother and daddy were still living. My daddy was a very shy man. It was difficult for him to communicate his faith. He loved the Lord, but he just wasn't that kind of a personality that he could grab you by the necktie and say, are you going to hell? He just didn't do that. He just a very shy guy. But this man and his wife started coming to the church. They came several Sundays in a row. And one day I gave an altar appeal, and my daddy just turned around and said, hey, you want to go? The guy said, I believe I will. Walked right up, gave his heart to the Lord. He and his wife, we baptized, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit. And when I got home that day, I had a phone call from a woman. And she was from Illinois. And she said, is this Reverend Fender? I said, yes, it is. She said, you're the greatest man in the world. I said, what do you mean? She said, you baptized my daddy. He's saved and filled with the Holy Spirit. Said, did he mention me? I said, no. She said, I'm his daughter. She said, you know what I do? I said, no. She said, I pastor a church. And she said, my daddy disowned me 15 years ago for being a Christian and said, he just called me on the phone and he's ecstatic. He's filled with something. My daddy is not like anybody I've ever known before. And so we became friends until he went on to heaven. The point is, the reason why he was an atheist, somebody had been mean to him in the name of Jesus. I don't care what you do. You might fall in sin. You might make mistakes. But I beg you this, don't be mean to anybody in the name of Jesus Christ, because Jesus Christ is the hope of the world. Jesus Christ is the joy of the world. Jesus Christ is the peace that passeth understanding. So we're not asking you to come to this church and just drop all of your bad habits. That simply does not work. That's the ministry of John the Baptist. It only lasted for a short time, but Jesus said, I've come with a better message. I've come with a new message, and that is not just a takeaway, but it's what I add to. It's if you will open your heart to me, and you might say, well, Pastor, I don't understand theology, or I've got this habit. I pastored a man one time that was an alcoholic for 13 years. He was an alcoholic for 13 years. He came to me one day, and he said, Pastor, he said, you've always been kind to me. You knew I was an alcoholic. He didn't look like it. He always wore a suit. He was one of those guys that could function. He said, do you realize I haven't had a drink now in 60 days? But he said, I want to thank you for all those years of never condemning me or never being mean to me, but just preaching to me the power of Jesus Christ. You see, we're not here to add to your sorrows. We're not here to add to your problems. We're here to tell you that no matter what you're facing, you might have a child that's a problem. You might have lost your job. You might be having a physical ailment in your body. You might have an addiction. You know, one thing the Lord had, and since I was raised in the church, I don't know much about drugs and alcohol and tobacco and all those things, but what the Lord did show me one time, when I was a little impatient with an addict that I was working with, and he kept selling his wife's jewelry and things to supply his habit, and I was a little short with him, and the Lord spoke to me and said, nobody hates the addiction like the addict. He wants to quit, but he just can't. That's what Jesus Christ has done for me. He's helped me overcome myself. That's exactly what he does. If you will make Jesus Christ the Lord of your life, it will happen, sometimes instantaneous, but sometimes it takes a while. When you look in the mirror and what you see in the mirror, there's something about yourself you don't like. If you'll just keep coming, if you'll just keep praising, if you'll keep talking to Jesus little by little, the Bible said line upon line, precept upon precept, things begin to change in your life. And one day you look in that mirror and you'll say, I'm not the man I used to be. I'm not the woman I used to be. God has changed me. Friend, I want to tell you, it's not so much what you've emptied out. It's what you are now receive in. And God has promised us so many things. His love, His Spirit, His joy, His fulfillment. It's all available to us. And we really need to do a better job as a Christian church and as preachers throughout America and around the world of preaching Jesus Christ like He really is. Do you know that Jesus Christ is not a judge now? God takes on different roles, and He's not a judge now. Someday He'll have to occupy that role, but He's in a place right now where all He is a Savior. Come just like you are. Bring all your problems to Him and say, Lord, I empty out everything I have because I'm trying to make room for the gifts that You want to bestow in my life. Do you know that God's got gifts that you've never yet possessed? God's got gifts you've never unwrapped yet. And sometimes we just have to make room for them. I know there are a lot of people in this world that don't have enough clothes. I had a real estate woman one time, and I had 5 ranches for sale. And every time she went into one of these ranch houses, she's trying to list, I had them furnished. I had beds in every one of them. I had clothes in every closet. She said, I never saw a man that had so many beds to lay down in and so many clothes in so many closets. The Lord has blessed me. But in order for me to get something in life, I have to get rid of something. I just got too much stuff, folks. Too many cars, too many clothes, too many Twinkies. I just got too much. You know, I mentioned to you that I like Twinkies. Can you believe a woman brought me a box of Twinkies that's this high and this wide? I ate every one of them. I used to weigh 89 pounds. Look at me now. Of course, I was only in, I forgot what grade I was in when I ate 89 pounds. But the point is, in order for me to get something, now I'm so blessed, I have to give away something in order for me to receive something new. I'm asking you today, what is it in your life that you want to get rid of? Why don't you just cast it away? Why don't you get rid of it? Because I promise you this, whatever it is that's pulling you down, holding you back, negative things you don't like about your life or yourself, if you will get rid of them, I promise you that God will not leave you empty, but He will replace it with something that is so much better. And you will become a praiser, and you'll be saying, like me, I say it all the time, look what the Lord has done. He brought me from the miry clay. He put my feet on the rock to stay. Would you stand with me right now? You believe it or not, there are people in this building. They've got things in their life that they don't like, and they're reoccurring. They just can't seem to get rid of them. You've got to realize that this thing is a spiritual battle, and God is a supernatural God. God can take away from you those things that you don't want out of your life, and He can implant in its place something that you haven't even thought was possible. But God is able to do that. When I meet superstars in the kingdom of God, I mean people that are victorious and overcoming, they always are surprised at what God has done. I was listening to Jensen Franklin the other day, and Jensen's a great, great preacher. But he really got into ministry by playing a saxophone. I didn't even know he played the saxophone. And he said he was playing the saxophone one time on a TV program. And he said the preacher didn't show up. It was worldwide television. And they said, hey, do you preach? And he said, I guess I can. And so he said, I preached right there. And he said, man, when I preached, that anointing came on me. I've been preaching ever since. And he built 2 of the great churches in America. What was it? He didn't realize what God was going to put in him. There's somebody in this building right now. If you'll just throw down the negative and pick up the positive, I promise you God is going to anoint you. God's going to do something good in your life. God's going to change you. God's going to open a door that you haven't even thought about. God's going to give you a gift that you don't even know about. You're going to become something that you never dreamed you could be, because my God is in that business, and His eyes are scanning the universe, and the Bible said He's looking for those that He can show Himself strong. I'm just going to make a simple appeal here today, and that is, if there's anything negative about your life that you don't like, It might be something you do. It might be something somebody else does. It might be something you inherited. It might be a personality quirk. It might be a sin. It might be addiction. I don't know what it is. If there's anything in your life you don't like, I just dare you, I challenge you to just very simply walk down this altar and say, Lord, I'm casting this care on you, and I want you to replace it with something good in my life. If you're here today, Becky is singing, and I...